VanWee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein. It's Saturday morning. It's 10 o'clock. This is the VanWee Financial Hour. I'm Steve VanWee.
And I'm Adam VanWee.
And we are here, as usual, live and in color, and we will be here for the whole hour. We hope you do the same. If you are in the habit of doing this, welcome back. Thanks so much for always being there. And if you're new at it, then try to stick around. We promise you'll learn something. It could be useful. It could be useless. It might be interesting. But you'll learn something every week. Or we failed, and we don't fail. That's my view of it anyway. I'm sure it's shared by many. Anyway, it is a lovely Saturday morning in the middle of January. I'm sitting here in shorts and just kind of loving the deep south.
Yep, took a long walk on the beach this morning. Can't get any better than that.
It does not get better than that. So, stay in for a while, or if you're driving in your car, drive along, and we've had people tell us they get home before the show is over, so they sit in the driveway and leave the radio on until they finish the show. You got a kick out of that one.
That's because no one can find a radio in their house anymore.
That's right, but you don't need one anymore. You're carrying a phone that has the WBOB app ready to download on it. There's just all kinds of ways to do this nowadays. Siri can find us, and Alexa can find us.
Yeah, and I just sent out a tweet and put a post on Facebook this morning with the TuneIn Radio app link.
So they'll find us too.
Yeah, you can find it there as well.
And do we link from the website? That one, I'm not really sure.
Of course.
Okay, so go to VanWeeFinancial.com. There's no reason anywhere, anytime, anymore to miss this. But if you do, on our website, after the first day or two, there will be a link to this show that you can listen to afterwards. And all of the commercials will have been cut out by the nice lady in our office, so it saves you a little time. That's no excuse to do it. You should still be listening live. That's my opinion. Otherwise, how can you win the trivia?
Yeah, if you want to call, you got to be listening live.
Yeah, lines are open, 904-222-TALK, 904-228.
You forgot a 2. 222-8255.
I thought I lost my rhythm there for a minute.
Yep, a little bit.
Okay, I'm better now. It's hard to keep the smile off of our faces once again. Although, if you're listening to the mainstream media, you will swear that only one event happened this week. It was the impeachment of a president. And if you saw the funeral dirge,
it was a somber, sober occasion.
And yet, I wanted a souvenir pen and I didn't get one.
Oh, you're the only one.
I am.
There was a lot of them.
It's really hard for Nancy to keep her teeth in place when she's smiling that hard. So, but I digress. I'm showing a little bias there, and I don't apologize.
Fair enough.
That's it. Meanwhile, thanks to the now impeached president, this economy is absolutely ripping it up. And thanks to the economy, the stock market is ripping it up. And it just doesn't get much better than this.
No, it really doesn't. I mean, this is, it's not unprecedented, but it's,
no.
In recent history, it is the best setup for a good year that I can think of.
Yeah, well, actually, it isn't that long ago when things were just about as jubilant as they are now. The economy wasn't necessarily so much, but the market was, and that was in early 2017 after Trump was just elected, and the market exuberance was based on expectations. Well, now it's being based on performance, trade deals, things like that.
It's still based on the expectations of those trade deals making as big of a difference as we think they will.
Mm-hmm.
So
I had been under the impression that Canada had already ratified that, and they have not. So I thought USMCA would go into effect immediately. On the other hand, Canada has expressed an interest in getting this done really fast. So despite their fearless leader, I think it's going to happen quickly because their farmers want it as much as our farmers do. And they have such a small population and so much more agrarian than ours is. I think it means probably more to them overall than to us. and therefore I expect it done real fast.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
And our farmers needed this, by the way. They needed the China deal, too. So congratulations to all the farmers in America.
Yeah, the what's left of them. It's a much vastly smaller population than it used to be.
Yeah, and we lost a few since all this has been going on. There was some fall off from it, and everybody knew there'd be some short-term pain. And I hope now that it's over and growing again.
Yeah, definitely. There's a lot of people employed by large corporations that own farms, however,
that are...
Are paid through that, so it is an important part of the country still.
Like those Koch boys,
that is correct.
Really involved in farming.
Yep. So we kind of mentioned it, but we had a really good week. If you hadn't noticed, this type of week, it's really my favorite. We had almost no volatility, no big swings in the market, just a steady march upward. We barely saw a triple-digit move on the Dow in either direction, but ended up with some pretty major gains. Following the script from last year and early this year, the NASDAQ charged ahead of the pack and gained 2.3%. The S&P was up 2%, and the Dow lagged, gaining only 1.8%. Whoa. Still a pretty strong week.
You know, if you took Boeing out of there, look out.
That 1.8% represented more than 500 points on the Dow, by the way, which is crazy. But that's the level that we're at.
What is it to go from a 1,000-point? To the next 1,000-point thing is like 3.3%.
Yeah, it's nothing. I mean, it's 1,000 points is really nothing anymore. It's lost a lot of its meaning, although it still feels...
It's just as much fun.
It still feels very symbolic when it happens.
The next one will be really fun.
Yeah, for sure. We did see the Dow close for the first time over 29,000 this week, and we saw a bunch of new all-time highs on all three indexes, including Friday's close. And will this streak continue, I think, is the question on everybody's mind.
Well, probably not at this pace.
Right. Well, it might not be as easy as it was this week where there was almost no doubt in your mind. You woke up every morning, the futures were green, and then the market was up.
Yeah, but then going into a holiday weekend, the S&P 500 closed just a silly millimeter from its high of the day, which is the high of the year, which is the high of ever. It didn't back off at the end. In other words, people were buying into the close.
Right, before a long weekend.
Yeah. So that is a really positive sign on the behalf of the investors.
Definitely.
The big ones, institutions, and so on.
I really like the market heading into this year for a variety of reasons. Even though we had such a big year last year, for one thing, we were coming off a 20% decline last year. So a big year wasn't as meaningful as it would have been had that not happened. That being said, we still had a really big year. But we've got trade deals, we've got cheap energy, we've got lower taxes, lower red tape and government regulation, a strong consumer, and a business-friendly government. And all those things just line up to me to say this has the potential of being a really good year.
I think so, too.
There are always risks. They're as present as they've ever been. They might be a couple fewer than there were last year, but they're still there. But all in all, I think it's a really good setup headed into this year. The U.S. markets have been strong in 2020. Uh-oh, we're running into a break here.
Okay, we've got a minute.
All right, well, I'll talk a little bit about international markets. Mexico and Russia are up more than 6% this year, beating the U.S. market. And even Hong Kong has started to bounce back and is up more than 5%. That's not really something I expected to see.
No.
China and Australia are on par with the U.S., both up more than 3%. Well, Brazil is the one of the worst performers, down 1.5%. European countries generally flat to start the year. Bunch more going on internationally that I'll talk about after the break, though.
Okay. Well, we have Don on the line, but we only have a few seconds. So, Don, if you can be patient and hold through the break, I will also give you the trivia question when you come back in case you want to take a shot at it. So we're going to have to pay some bills here for a minute. We'll get Don right after the break, and we'll finish up a little more on the market wrap. And then we got all kinds of good stuff coming. So don't go anywhere. You're going to learn something, and we'll be right back. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we have Don on the line. I'm going to get to him in just a second, but I promised I would give out the trivia question so he can take a shot at it if he'd like to. This one hits home because it's about home. How many people, on average, move to Florida every day to the nearest 100? That is today's trivia. Good morning, Don.
Hey, Van, how you doing today? I'm doing good.
Real fine. Everybody's great. What's up?
Well, I don't want to shake y'all's limbs very much out there. But I got to remind everybody, wherever I go, I remind them. And I'm going to remind you again, Van Wee. This country is a deep debt.
You got that right.
I mean, we're not in just a debt. There ain't no way the hell they can pay this thing off for 20 years. Not the way it's going.
It's not going to get paid off.
I know the stock market's up, and everybody's making a little bit of money. But I'm going to tell you something, and I hope you're listening. I hope everybody's listening. Because sooner or later, this thing is going to hit a wall. And if you think the 29 Depression was bad, the way it's going, it's going to be a lot severer than that.
Tell me what year and I'll get out.
Do what?
Tell me what year and I'll get out of the market first.
I'm out of the market now, son. I put a lot of money in there, and I lost a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like this Christmas. You don't realize how many people were in Florida. They brought their wives and kids down here, and the husbands went home and left their wives down here. I've had to put out a lot of money this year for Christmas for children, and I don't regret it one bit.
Well, I'm glad you have causes, especially at that time of year. No one's going to disagree with you that we're in debt. Nobody's going to disagree with you that there's trouble ahead. But we've been saying this at Dow 8,000, 10, 12, 14, 16, da-da-da-da-da. And we're still the beacon of the world. And as long as people look up to us, it's going to be postponed for a while yet. That's my view of it. Anyway,
I mean, really, though, we haven't even begun to see debt. Wait till a democratic socialist gets elected. Mm-hmm. Then we're going to be talking about some debt.
Then we got trouble. Get some absolute trouble. You start to put in trillion-dollar programs for health care and trillion-dollar programs for environmental wackiness and all that, and we will get ourselves in deep. But I don't see that happening. I think the public's way too smart. I give them a lot of credit.
So. Well, I sincerely hope to the bottom of my heart that we pull through this thing.
You and me.
But I'm a finance type guy. I see what I see here way before Christmas, and I don't see it getting any better. And if you think this debt of trillions of dollars every year is going to not hit me and you and everybody in the back pocket at one time, I have news for y'all. If you've never seen the laws of this country and this world, you don't think these other countries are having it so good either? They're not. The world is going to collapse when this thing collapses, man, because, you know.
But your warnings are not falling on deaf ears anywhere, but there isn't really a heck of a lot you and I can do about it, and that's the truth. Did you want to take a shot at our trivia?
Yeah, 99.
9,900?
Yeah.
To the nearest 100?
99.
You're a little high.
You said 100, didn't you?
Yep, you're a little bit high. But you're not far. So there's a good clue for everybody out there. We appreciate your call always. You guys have a good one, and we'll move on and see if we can't become a little more upbeat for a few minutes.
Thanks, Don.
Pardon? I missed that. Anyway.
Speaking of the trivia, I have to tell our last two winners I'm waiting on some new cards from Ken Bales with First Coast Alarm. And I haven't forgotten about you. I'll get him out to you as soon as I receive them. He is really, really busy and works all over town, so he'll swing by one of these days, and I'll get them right out to you.
I don't remember if I gave it out, but, of course, the trivia is sponsored, as usual, by Ken Bales at First Coast Alarm. And you can call Ken at 904-636-7888. And, fortunately, that number travels with him because he's all over the place.
Yeah, and I believe he answers that personally. He does great work. He's done work on for us, and we know it, and I highly recommend it.
When they get done with your house, you will not know that there was work performed. It looks absolutely
that is true.
Perfect. Captain Dave.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Good morning. What's up?
Well, I was just listening to that last guy there, and he's got a point, but...
Yes, he does.
At one time, I was a partner in a motorcycle shop, a Honda dealership. And it was back during the second gas crisis, I guess.
That's when I drove.
People don't remember that. The Yom Kippur War and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And you probably remember, if you're old enough, we were running out of gas, and you had odd days and even days.
Yep.
You
could only get eight gallons at a time.
That stuff.
Lines around the corners.
Well, anyway, we had sold every bike we had in inventory, and there wasn't any to be had. They were, Japan couldn't make them fast enough and like that, so, because there were people coming in buying motorcycles, 350 and 360 Hondas, there was a line to buy them because everybody thought they'll ride a bike instead of a car. And there's a lot of those bikes that are probably still in somebody's garage because they never got used. But anyway, so we were flush. We had money coming out of our ears, and we spent it all. The problem was we were learning. And the problem was, of course, when it came time to buy new bikes, when they actually did show up, and the market had been a forced expansion of the market, which means people bought them and didn't going to use them. The used bike market became worth nothing. So we kind of got in deep trouble there, and we had a banker. Now, this is before the thing where I forget the guy's name about kiting checks. It begins with an M, but anyway. And they changed all the banking regulations. So we went over and saw our banker. We had about $150,000 credit line. And he said, well, you got to get back down to zero somehow, you know, once a year. And we could do that in the old days, but all of a sudden we couldn't. So we went in there with the keys to the front door and said, here, you own a motorcycle shop. Now, that bank did not want to own a motorcycle shop. So they kind of changed their mind about how long they float us, and we eventually got rid of it. But I think that's the same thing. As long as we are the currency of the world, the world don't want the keys to this country.
Nope, you're right.
There ain't no way to get them.
Well, if you take us, you get our debt, too.
Yeah, here you go. And you know what? I think eventually, I don't know if it's possible. You know, the word jubilee comes from Jubal, who was one of the sons of Noah, but that's not important. But the story of Jubal is that jubilee means a forgiveness of debt. That's what it really means. Mm. And in fact, Israel used to do it every 100 years. Mm. I think eventually they can't monetize it. It's too big to monetize. We'd wind up with truckloads of money, bills. So, because that's the way the governments, a lot of governments, you know, get out of what their problem is.
I've talked about that in recent shows where you pick a day.
But sooner or later, you can't get $7 million for a nail or something.
Yeah.
I don't see. I think if it does, when it does crash, it's going to be terrible. But I don't see it happening in my lifetime, so I'm really not that concerned. But,
at our age, I think we're probably safe.
Guys, out there, all you panic people and the newsletter people and the gold people and all that, they're going to tell you that Armageddon tomorrow. Probably not, but it is coming.
Nobody will disagree with you. There are three ways to get out of debt, as we've said, and none of them are palatable. So they can put off a default. I like that. If I owe you money and you owe me money, let's cancel those numbers, and then everything gets manageable again. The problem is not everybody owes everybody enough money.
Right, and the bookies don't like you when you pay off the debt.
No, and who would get hurt? Like bondholders.
It's like in that movie, Trading Places, and he's explaining to so the black guy, he says, well, you know, whether they buy or they sell, we make money.
Exactly. Transactions, people.
There you go.
Yep.
And historically, we are at a pretty high level of debt compared to GDP, which is around 100%, but it's been higher. So
Look at Japan.
Yeah, that's
my
true.
My God, their debt to GDP is humongous.
At the end of World War II in 1946, we were at 121.7%. Debt to GDP ratio. So we've been substantially higher.
I have a perfect example. I live in my second country, which is Jamaica. I think it's 3 GDP to their debt.
Wow.
But their stock market is the fastest growing stock market in the world for the last couple of years.
That's how you finance growth.
Yeah. Well, and there's a way to solve that problem. It's called make your GDP bigger.
Yeah.
Yep. That's how you do it.
Yep. And then you put more people to work, and then you get more taxes and all that. But they got to stop spending two for one.
Exactly.
Well, the reality of it is just a bunch of numbers in a computer for real.
At this point, you're precisely right.
I keep telling my kids down in Jamaica, I said, look, wealth is this land you're standing on. If you don't mind me taking some time, I had a crew member who was, I think, a Syrian. When we got to talking several times, he was a very intelligent man. And he said, "You Americans have no idea what wealth is. Wealth is male children and barrels of olives."
A colorful way to put it.
Yeah.
I love it. All right, you guys have a good weekend.
Thanks, Dave. Talk to you soon. Bye. All right, we're going to take a break. I love that. Barrels of olives.
Of course.
Must have been a martini man.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, we're going to take a break and come back. We've got some more to say about the market and then just all kinds of other interesting topics today. And, of course, your calls, 904-222-8255. And you can reach us after a short break. Don't go anywhere, because what you'd miss would not be fun to miss. What you'll hear, hopefully, will be a lot of fun to hear. So, we'll pay some bills. Be back in a couple minutes. This is the Banley Financial Hour, and I'm glad you're here. Welcome back to the Banley Financial Hour. I'm Steve Banley.
And I'm Adam Banley.
And our trivia question is still out there. It says, how many people move to Florida on average every day to the nearest 100? And we have a guess of 9,900, and that's a little too high. So you have a bracket. I didn't find out in the story how many people in Florida pass away or move out or whatever, but that's the inbound only. And that's a lot of people when you add them up over a year.
Yeah.
Adam and I were talking about it. The various reasons people come to Florida, a lot of it is that 10,000 people a day, maybe even a few more than that, are hitting ages like 65, 66, 67, and retiring. And if you're going to retire, where would you want to go?
Well, it's kind of a thing that people retire here.
Yeah. We do Heaven's have, waiting room.
We do have quite a few retirement communities.
That we do. I would personally not care to live anywhere else.
Nor would I. I've been other places, and I've always moved back here because it's fantastic.
On a quick side note, I told Adam before the show, those of you who know the name Jeffrey Immelt will recognize him as the former CEO of GE, the one under which the company, shall we say, did not fare well. Well, he just pulled a Hillary and wrote a book. He's promoting it real hard right now. In this book, he's going to explain that it's not his fault.
Right.
Jack Welch set the whole thing up wrong. No.
Yeah, I'm sure that was the problem.
Yeah. Oh, and the 90s were very good to things like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so we know that it's not his fault.
The guy almost single-handedly took down GE from one of the most respected, largest companies in the U.S. to where they currently sit at somewhere around the 60th.
He was clever, though.
Sixth biggest, I think, something like that.
Yeah. He was so clever that he managed to hide from the auditors the devastation of their pension plan, which has now been frozen. Well, duh. I would say that's 15 years late, but yeah, that's just me.
I mean, to me, his actions were borderline criminal, but that's neither here nor there.
Yeah. He'll not suffer any consequences, I'm sure.
No.
Anyway, I just wanted to pass that along because that's kind of interesting in those things, and we have talked about that many times on the show. All right, a few more little tidbits about the market this week.
I've got one. Google this week became the fourth U.S. tech company to be valued at $1 trillion, following Amazon, Apple, and Microsoft. It's debatable whether or not these companies will keep those lofty valuations, but it's amazing that all four are in place today. These five stocks, there's been a narrative that the big companies are really driving this market. That narrative is largely false, and part of the proof in that is that these five stocks are trading at a P.E. ratio of 27.8. Now, that's compared to the rest of the market at 22.3, so they're slightly elevated above the average, but they're certainly not where they were back in the tech bubble of the 90s.
Similar number in the 90s would have been 66 or higher.
Yeah, so nowhere near that. They have outperformed the market in general, but still not by leaps and bounds as the narrative would suggest.
And one of the market statistics that I really like is that semiconductors as a segment is really booming.
Yeah,
it is. You make those before you make other technology, and that bodes so well for the tech sector over the next few months. And you look at where it's come from, and then you look at where it's going, And a lot of people would ask, I put this in my notes just to discuss it for a moment. A lot of people, I'm sure, are sitting back thinking, well, am I too late? You got a response for that?
I mean, I think I kind of addressed that in the first segment when I was talking about what a good year this is mm-hmm. setting up to look like it could be. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's too late. I do think that there are reasons to be cautious, but I always think that when you're investing. So I honestly am still putting money in the market and I'm still buying equities. So I don't see an impending doom scenario. Could the market do a 20% correction? Absolutely. Sure. No doubt about it. But would it be the end of the bull market? Not necessarily.
Now, I look at boomers and then we get on to your generation and so on. And I think there's been periods of time in every generation where they thought, darn it, I'm a generation short.
Always.
Damn, my dad did this.
Always.
My mom did this.
I mean, you're thinking about real estate, you're thinking about the stock market.
Absolutely.
Anything that appreciates, you will have that feeling about if you thought about getting in one time and didn't have the money, and then when you have the money, it seems high,
yeah.
You're going to think that.
And then you buy it anyway if you are like me. And then down the line, it's worth way more.
Yeah.
It's partly the falling value of the dollar, of course. You know, the classic in our generation was, oh, man, if we could get our father's mortgage rates, we'd be in fat city. They were only paying 5%. Well, what are we paying now? 3.8, 3.6. We not only got them, we got them in spades and more. And you know, it's never really too late. And I tell you, the only really good day to put money in the market is the day you have some money. And that's really it, because you just don't have a clue.
No, you really don't. I mean,
but plan first and then invest, and you're going to come out fine.
If you sit around and wait for a pullback to invest, the market will go. It will not pull back.
What do you always read in the financial wizardry? Buy the dips. Well, they're talking about stocks. You know, buy McDonald's when it dips to whatever. If you got time to play around with all that stuff, you're a different person than I am.
The fact is, if the market's at 100. And you want to see a 20% dip before you mm-hmm. buy in,
yeah.
and it goes to 150 before it does a 20% dip, have you then really done any good? So, anyway.
An excellent point there.
The speaking of housing data this week it was actually a little mixed, but overall, there were some huge surprises to the upside.
Starts.
On Tuesday morning, mortgage applications came out. Last week, they rose 13.5%. This week, they rose 30.2%.
Amazing.
30% in a week. And if that wasn't good enough, home builder sentiment came in stronger than expected. Mm-hmm. And then housing starts came in at 1,608,000. The expectation was 1,380,000. And the actual was higher than last month by almost 17%.
We caution a lot about when you make artificial cutoffs like the end of a certain month or whatever.
Yeah.
You kind of have to time spread these things and even them out. But that number was helped a lot by some unusually decent weather in the upper states.
That is true. But we did see building permits come in slightly lower than expected, and existing home sales dropped. But I believe that was due to lack of inventory. So we're getting into a situation potentially where we don't have enough inventory.
It's the same problem as the job situation. Why did jobs go down just a little bit? Because there aren't people out there to take them. Good morning, Jim.
Hey, good morning, guys.
What's happening?
I just want to take a shot at your trivia.
Good. Sure. What's your guess?
I want to go with 900.
You, my friend, are what they would call in the vernacular of finance, the winner.
All right.
You nailed it. It's about 900 people a day.
It sounds more like that guy guessed earlier, 9,000, you know.
Yeah,
9,900.
That was what he had guessed, and that's a little high. That's closer to the amount of people that are retiring every day.
Yeah.
But not all of them are moving to Florida. Thank goodness.
Thank goodness, yes. You know, when we moved down here, I was ready to close the doors and say, we're full, go away.
That's why I say it seems more like 9,000 a day.
It really does.
Yeah. Every time you hit the road, there's more cars.
Exactly.
You can always tell which direction people are moving. You just call them up and ask them the price of a U-Haul to go from one place to the other. A U-Haul to Florida is very expensive. A U-Haul from Florida is very cheap.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the best barometers. Love it. All right, we're going to put you on hold. We'll get your information, and as soon as the stash comes in, Adam will get them dispensed out to you and the couple of people that we owe.
Great.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate it. Great show.
Thanks. Paul, good morning.
The gentleman was taking my information. I was talking to him.
Okay.
I think you've had a correct answer there.
Yes, we did.
We did.
900 people a day.
900 people a day. Is that people moving here from within the United States, or does that include the illegal aliens also moving in?
The countable ones. So yeah. I would say it's probably the former. Good question, though. I love your sense of humor. All right. Well, sorry about that. Call next week. We'll have another one. All right. 900 people a day. You're going to take that times 365 days. You got some people. It's no wonder to me. We all did it because we wanted to. Who'd want to live anywhere else? What the heck? All right, we got to pay some more bills and come back. We got one more segment left, and Adam's got some very, very interesting information for you. So I would stick around and hear it. This is the Vanway Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Vanway Financial Hour. I'm Steve Vanway.
And I'm Adam Vanway.
And this segment is brought to you by Robinson Landscape and Maintenance. You can give Troy a call at 662-9794. Before Adam gets into his Florida prepaid announcement, I wanted to mention one thing that nobody knows is happening up in Washington. That in the during the Obama era, they made it a lot more difficult to hire people who are actually subcontractors. They're trying as hard as they can, both the state of California and the federal government, to make everybody into an employee so that they all get benefits, and it raises the cost of labor a lot. Well, it just got undone. The Labor Department issued a final rule Sunday that clarifies when a worker is employed by more than one company. And where this really applies big time is if you're working for a staffing company and you get assigned out to the other company, they want you to be considered employees at both places, which raises the cost of employment a lot.
I thought this was directed at Uber.
It's the same thing.
Okay.
Yeah, it's all the same thing where they're trying to make every classification of employees or of people who work for you into employees. That's being undone now. And Adam was just telling me a story about a friend who's trying to hire people. And with a little luck, this is going to help people like him and the small businesses. That this is a small business saver. That was a small business killer. So
yeah, and
congratulations to the administration.
Not everyone wants to be an employee
either. No.
A lot of people want to set their own hours.
Yes.
And to do that,
be able to work for somebody else,
you have to be a 1099 contractor.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
Or if you're covered by your spouse's benefits and you don't need benefits and you can make more money being a 1099 contractor, that's a completely legitimate reason. Or if you don't just want to be tied down to one company, there's so many reasons, and it's so stupid to outlaw that just because you don't like it. And if that's what people want, let them take 1099 jobs.
Yeah, if you want to go out and work on your own for yourself, it should be as easy as, well, maybe it isn't easy to get a contract, but it should be that easy. You tell me what you want done, I'll tell you how long it'll take and what it'll cost, and we shake hands and go to work.
And then there's tax consequences that aren't, they can be favorable, sometimes they're not, but that's really up to you to figure out. And then there's definite advantages to putting away money for retirement, being self-employed. So
yes, and you know from the employer standpoint that if an employer has seasonal business or if they have a fall off in business and they lay people off, the consequences of that stay with them a long time, and things like workers' comp costs.
That's right.
So it's just a burden on business that does not need to be there. The system was not broken, and it did not need fixing, so they just broke it again. I think I said that right.
Sure.
Whatever. Anyway, did you know that our governor, who is not a real flashy guy, I would say?
He's understated, I would
say.
He
is.
Yeah.
But what he does is fabulous. And what he did for those of you who are parents, you're going to love it.
Yeah, every once in a while, the government actually acts in the best interest of its citizens. And on those rare occasions, we do like to bring it to your attention. This week, Governor Ron DeSantis, who is, in my opinion, doing an excellent job in Tallahassee, announced that they are lowering rates on all of the Florida prepaid college savings plans. This announcement is slated to save Floridians $1.3 billion in college costs, including refunds of about $500 million to existing customers.
Yeah, do you hear that, grandparents of the world?
So
parents
of the world? You have refunds? Purchased a plan that has not yet been used, you might be getting a check, or they might just cancel your monthly recurring payment and say, oh, you're done paying for it.
At least for whatever time.
Yeah. So, I mean, that is just great news. And in addition to the refunds, new and existing plan prices are being reduced, and existing plans may be paid off earlier, as I mentioned. Mm-hmm. These changes are the result of lower than anticipated increases in tuition and fees. This is not the first time that plan costs have been lowered.
No,
in 2014, Rick Scott dramatically lowered the price of all plans as well. At that time, some plans were cut nearly 50%, going from $40,000 down to $20,000 per student in some cases. Yeah. I remember when I had my first child, I went and looked at the cost of a plan, and it was close to $50,000. And so I passed
for an infant
on that and went the 529 route. Now this year I'm actually reevaluating. I think I might do a combination of a 529 and a Florida prepaid plan, because they've also added a 1 year of tuition plan. So you can buy 1 year at a time now, mm-hmm. Which is something relatively new. And it's pretty affordable, even if you have kids that are not infants anymore. It's not outrageous. So
yeah, and it happens if you have one of these things and the kid doesn't use it or gets scholarships or something, you can select a new beneficiary and just move the money over to the other one.
Yeah,
very flexible.
Or worst case, if you run out of kids to use it for, you can always take the money out and then you just pay taxes on the gains.
Or so, you can wait and you can send yourself back to school if you want to upgrade your own skills and pay the costs out of there.
Yeah, I'm done with school, though. No more for me.
I thought about it a few years ago, and I came to the same conclusion.
Yeah, if you want to know more about that or want to know more about how saving strategies for college, you can always call us at the office on Monday. It's 904-685-1505 or email us at info@vanweefinancial.com.
And I think the starter cost, so to speak, if you're having a new infant and you want to look at it, what I gather is probably a four-year tuition-only plan, is $44 a month for 18 years. Now, I haven't added all that up. But $44 a month and you've got your tuition expense covered?
Now, if that had been the case when my kids were born, I would have done that in a heartbeat.
Absolutely.
I mean, $44 a month is almost nothing. Yeah. And by the time your kid is 10 years old, it almost really is nothing because of inflation and the cost of money. And it's just so cheap.
The whole concept of a prepaid is just one of the forms of a 529. But it's a question of risk acceptance or risk avoidance.
Transference, really.
Yeah. I would like for some of my risk to be transferred to somebody else. Now, there's usually a price for that, a cost for it. And what happens with these is you put your now $44 a month in there for 18 years, and the kid is guaranteed to have 4 years of tuition there. Now, that to me has put a lot of risk on them. The way it wouldn't happen was, what if the cost isn't really all that great and you wound up paying all that in? I say, good trade.
Yeah.
I'll do it every time.
Yeah. And then, especially if you also do a 529 plan.
There you accept the risk of investing.
Yeah. And you can make a good amount of tax-free money to pay for college in the stock market. It may or may not outpace that inflation, but then you've sort of hedged your risk if you've done a combination of 2 1-year plans for Florida prepaid and also done a 529. You're sort of hedging your risks on both sides. So
what if
I really like it.
What if you took a $100 bill and the kid was born every month and put 44 cents over here in the prepaid and put 56 cents over here? And then you fast forward to 18 years. That'd be a fun little mathematical thing to do.
It would. We could go back and calculate that, actually. It'd be possible.
Yeah, it would. And think what you'd have, the flexibility you'd have and the guarantees you'd have. That is really pretty cool. A lot of you will remember two or three times over the last couple of years the term I call politics and economics. You know that one? It was December of 2018, and although most of us would rather forget that month, it actually happened. You recall that the S&P 500 went down something like 19.92%, something. It went right down to the line where we would have ruined the length of the bull market. And then it just reversed briefly, so it never quite got there. So we're still in this elongated bull market that started in 2009. But that month, we felt obligated to sort of explain to our getting worried clients and our getting worried selves what was going on. So I wrote a letter to them, which I did on the radio a couple of times. I said, politics and economics both drive the market, one short-term and often irrational, and the other long-term and fundamentally accurate. Right now, politics was trumping the economics. That was back in 18. Well, on January 9th, you ready for this one? Yahoo Finance, they wrote an actual good article. I hope you were all sitting down appropriately. But what it said was, overnight Tuesday, futures fell sharply after Iran fired missiles at U.S. Iraqi bases. On Wednesday, stocks hit high records. Markets rallied after Trump said that Tehran appears to be standing down. And their conclusion here is that short-term, politics were driving the market, but long-term, it didn't matter because we didn't have the conditions for a long-term bad market. In other words, they wrote my article. I was so happy, and congratulations to Yahoo for all their misses. You finally nailed one, guys. If you try to find that this week after the China trade deal and the USMCA, you'll still be looking this time next week for an article on that stuff, so just listen here instead. All right, we got to run. We'll be back same time next week. Thanks for listening. This is the Benway Financial Hour.